fact, when I say that I'm going to talk NBA with Sam Amick in a moment, I mean I'm going to talk NBA with Sam Amick right now. He is a writer for The Athletic. The trade deadline's coming up, and it is insane to see what's going on around that league. So let's get off of football and talk some basketball. Sam Amick is my guest. Sam, it's so good to have you back. How are you?
Romy, doing great. How you doing, brother?
Good, good. Sam, great to hear your voice. Listen, I mentioned the NFL. Obviously, is dominating headlines this time of year, but it's amazing to see what's going on in the NBA. You go back over the past week, there was the announcement, Sam, that Anthony Davis is not going to re-sign with the Pelicans. The Lakers reportedly made an offer for Davis. The Knicks trade Porzingis. Kyrie Irving's comments and more. What has the last week in the association been like for you?
I mean, it's been wild. I keep thinking about Adam Silver and his kind of grand plan that seemed so far-fetched just a couple of years ago to really catch up to the NFL when it comes to the NBA and the level of interest. And I don't ever remember a Super Bowl week, you know, like this one when it comes to the NBA being successful and stealing, you know, this much of the spotlight. And then you add on to that the fact that the game itself yesterday was kind of a dud. You know, I feel like Adam probably privately has a little grin on his face because, you know, some of the players, some of the stars, I think they get tired of the headlines and the drama and all this stuff that we're always talking about. But Adam's always been a businessman. He knows that this moves the needle. He knows that this drives the league. This is what, you know, leads to the guys getting paid, and it's good for business.
That's all true, isn't it? Sam Amick joining us. When he made that comment a few years back, I'm like, come on, man. You're never going to be anywhere near what the NFL is. But when you look at the stars involved and some of the speculation, and it is moving the needle, like Anthony Davis, for instance, that had been simmering for weeks. So what was your initial reaction when the lid came off last week with the announcement that he was not going to re-sign with New Orleans?
Definitely not surprised. You know, I had done a column about a month ago breaking down why the Pelicans were in serious danger of losing him at the time, reporting that he had did not care about the extra fifth year and essentially the extra $87 million that the Pelicans could offer him this summer, that was not a factor in his mind at all when it came to the question of whether or not he wanted to stay in New Orleans. So when I reported on that story, there was a strong sense that it was like, all right, quite to the point of asking for a trade just yet, but it did feel close. You know, fast forward a couple of weeks and we saw what happened. And even in real time today, you know, it continues to evolve. The Lakers trying to get in there and get that job done, give LeBron kind of his co-star. Other teams trying to get involved, and a few days left till the deadline, obviously.
All right, so Sam, what about the timing of the announcement? How much of that is about trying to get him to the Lakers and putting pressure on the Pelicans to make a move before the Celtics can get involved in the summertime?
Right, because as you know, Boston can't do this deal right now. They can't have two guys with the rookie Supermax extension, and that would be Kyrie and AD. So until Kyrie becomes a free agent this summer, they're on the sideline. And, yeah, it's certainly, you know, the word within the league and the strong sense from everybody who knows what's going on is that this was certainly intended to give the Lakers pole position. I do think we are, you know, we're seeing now there's some other options that AD might consider. I still would be shocked if he got traded before the deadline. I think it's going to be Lakers or nothing else, or just wait till the summer. But, you know, a lot of moving parts here, and Boston's got to be sitting there, you know, just kind of, you know, have the anxiety going up by the second here because they have a great package they can offer New Orleans this summer, but they got to sit here and wait.
Sam Amick joining us. Sam, is there any reason why Dell Demps and the Pelicans would not wait until summertime to see what Boston has to offer?
I just think that I keep saying this. I think we sometimes gloss over the human component of these things. You know, it's not a static environment. You know, if you got AD, let's say they don't trade him, then they shelve him. They decide to have him not play because he's, you know, a very valuable asset for them. And you go that route. Well, now your fan base just is going to tune out for the rest of the season. You know, you're not going to sell season ticket packages and it's going to be uncomfortable. I think if you're Dell Demps, that's not, you know, reason enough alone to do a deal. But if you have a package right now where you feel like you could not only put the organization in a good place, you can then get rid of kind of this cloud that's hanging over your head and start moving forward. I would want to do that if I was him.
I think you're right. I think that's reasonable. Sam Amick joining us. Sam, the other factor in all this is that LeBron has got a ticking clock, right? He's not getting any younger.
Right.
How much does that play a role in this?
I think it's big. I mean, it's so tricky as you break down the power players here. Certainly Rich Paul, agent for Anthony Davis, and LeBron, you know, known LeBron for a long time. But I know for a fact takes great exception to the idea you know, that his only purpose in life is to help LeBron in his career. He's got a bunch of clients now, a bunch of very good players, and he's become a forceful agent, a guy who's, you know, commanding respect all around the league, which is to say that he doesn't like the idea and the narrative that this is all about just helping LeBron. But if that's going to be the ultimate destination, you got to go ahead. You know, AD needs to get there right now, because we saw this year already with the groin strain, how long it took for LeBron to get back. As incredible as he is, he still is 34 years old, and, you know, they want to get to work. And not only that, unfortunately for the Lakers, their young core and some of their other pieces just, you know, they showed us over this last 6 weeks that they can't survive without him. And, you know, they want to speed this thing up. I think LeBron came in talking about patience, and it's pretty clear he's not nearly as patient now as he was 6 months ago.
No, not at all. Sam Amick joins us. He writes for The Athletic. In terms of the Lakers, there was that report over the weekend, Sam, of something went down in the Lakers locker room after the loss to Golden State. What's your sense as to exactly what happened in the locker room, and how would you describe where that team is right now?
I mean, it was not surprising. So I was at that game, Romy. You know, Warriors, Lakers, was in the locker room talking to different guys. There was no hint of it whatsoever when it comes to kind of the demeanor and the mood, and other than maybe a longer than usual delay in talking to different players. And it's one of those things where then when you look at the scene in hindsight, you start realizing, like, oh yeah, this guy was over there actually talking to a security guard after the fact about, you know, something. But now you're kind of wondering what it all was. You have a roster full of prospective, you know, guys who are going to be free agents this summer, guys whose names are being put on the table right now in real time in trade discussions. Basically, LeBron is the only guy in that locker room who knows what his, you know, career looks like next season. And I think that creates a ton of angst. You got Luke Walton with questions about his job security hang over his head all the time, and he's trying to push these guys to be unselfish on the basketball floor. I mean, it's about as tough a challenge as you're going to have if you're a coach, because, I mean, if Luke's being honest, I guarantee you this is where his head is at. He understands why guys would be selfish right now, because they're trying to get paid and keep their careers going, and the organization is clearly not thinking that they're part of the long-term package. So it's a little toxic in that regard. So you had basically Michael Beasley, JaVale McGee pushing back on Luke and the idea that they had been selfish during the game. You know, voices raised a little bit, nothing physical. You know, a lot of people internally saying it was not that big of a deal, but certainly tension's kind of running high.
We're talking to Sam Amick. All right, Sam, what about Porzingis? I mean, on the surface, it looks like New York just cleared the decks. They have enough space now for Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving to sign as free agents. But, Sam, you've watched the Knicks for a long time. It's kind of hard to say with confidence that they've got a plan and that they're going to deliver on it. Does this feel different? I mean, do you really trade a 23-year-old unicorn without being close to 100% certain that you can get both these guys? Would they really do that?
I mean, that's what's made their situation, you know, maybe the most compelling of the whole league this summer, because they went ahead, you know, put all their chips in. The gamble is extremely risky, and we're not going to know until July if it's going to pay off. Like right now, I understand it from the standpoint that, you know, I have a really good sense of the intel coming their way. They have a very high confidence level that they're going to get Kevin Durant. And I think once, you know, definitely not going to say once, but if they get Kevin, then I think, you know, the idea is you can get a guy like Kyrie to leave Boston. I know for a fact that Boston is certainly concerned when it comes to the Knicks. They do think that New York is definitely capable of convincing Kyrie to leave the Celtics situation. But I've seen this, you know, every year where there's a high-profile free agent where you're hearing one thing in January and February, and then guess what? I go back to the human component. If Kevin Durant goes ahead and wins a third straight championship with the Warriors, decides that, you know, all the stuff with Draymond is in the past and he's actually feeling pretty good about things, changes his mind, then the Knicks have egg on their face because their plan didn't work. You know, you can't go out and do, you know, Jimmy Butler and Kemba Walker and call it a success. This is going to have to be for the big guys like KD and Kyrie.
Sam, do you think, for instance, that Danny Ainge feels like he's going to have to get Davis in order to get Kyrie to re-sign? Does that factor in?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's, I mean, if they got Davis, they would be, you know, sleeping 9 hours a night and having REM sleep every single time. They'd be feeling really good. If they don't get Davis, they're nervous. I think they're nervous right now. They know, I mean, Kyrie, this went from a story where different reports were kind of leaking out, you know, on the edges about how maybe he's not as into re-signing as we thought. And then it was only a matter of 2 or 3 days before the man is out there in front of the whole world, essentially confirming all those reports, because he certainly walked back the sentiment that he shared back in October when he said, "I'm here to stay." So, I think AD is a key for them to keep Kyrie. And you know, again, KD factors in too.
Sam Amick covering all of this. Really quick, Sam, before we go, overall, how worried do you think teams are right now about superstar players having the hammer, having the power that they have, and their willingness to use it?
I think it's an issue. I just don't know how it evolves, how it changes, how Adam Silver handles it. I heard some stuff this week that I thought was fascinating about, the Jimmy Butler situation, the way he forced himself out in Minnesota, and how behind the scenes the league, you know, they have taken certain measures trying to, at minimum, you know, get in the ears of representatives and try to implore them to, like, if you're going to go down this road and consistently do the power play, you know, please do it with as much decorum as possible, and just trying to kind of control what is a trend. I mean, we've had power plays for years and years and years, but now with the timeline being sped up, you're talking a year and a half left on a guy like Anthony's contract. It's becoming commonplace. And Rich Paul being at the center of it, because he's AD's guy, because he's LeBron's guy, and because he's widely known to have kind of the ethos and the belief that the players deserve to pull these kinds of strings, and they're kind of pushing the envelope of that power right now.
So finally, is it just kind of part of the natural evolution, or is this a big step forward? Is it changing?
I think it's changing, and part of it is not real complicated. The economics are just clear as day. I mean, when you got players out here making $30-35 million on the court, and then you got shoe contracts that maybe double that salary, playing for coaches who were making $3-5 million, playing for GMs, you know, who were making somewhere in that neighborhood of money. The players aren't stupid. They know who moves the needle. They know who sells the tickets, and they're taking advantage of that power.
Hell yes, 100%. Sam Amick, an NBA writer for The Athletic. Sam, great job. Really well done. Appreciate you, and great to have you back, Sam.
Thanks, Romy. Good.
Good stuff, Sam. Really well done. Sam Amick. I love that last point that he made, too. The players, if they're making 25, 30, 35 mil, and they're playing for a head coach who's making 3 to 5 mil, who works for a GM who's making about the same amount of money, the players know. They know who's running this thing. They are. And they've got the hammer, and they're not afraid to use it. Yeah, so if I'm Boston, I'm concerned. Boston cannot jump into the Davis sweepstakes until summertime, and maybe they need Davis in order to keep Kyrie, but the Lakers are trying to get there first. If I were Danny Ainge, I'd be kind of concerned.